Try to expand on this thought tonight. And so turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. And you have your sheets there. If you want to write notes on the back, you can. Principle number 3, it is easier to keep the heart clean than to clean it after it has been defiled. We had a preacher here one time named Brother Tom Wallace. Some of you remember him. He was about 80 when he came. Still alive. Still serving the Lord and still preaching. I remember years and years ago hearing him tell the story about him and his wife going out soul winning visitation. And they went out to follow up on a lady that was attending their church who had an incorrigible son that just wouldn't listen to his mother, wouldn't do anything she said. I think she was a single mom, and she was trying her hardest. Brother Wallace said to his wife, "Let's go out and see Sister so-and-so and see how she's doing." She was looking for all the advice she could get in raising her child. Well, that day, the town had come through where they were living and had retired the road. And after they retired, they put tire down the road, they put stone over it. And she was warning her boy, she said, "Now don't you go out in that tire. I don't want you getting tire all over you." And he didn't listen. And he went out there and he got tire all over his body. I mean, it was everywhere. And when Pastor Wallace and his wife showed up, she was trying everything she could to get the tire off of him. And she finally said to the pastor, she said, "It would be easier to have another child than to clean this one up." And I think that little story kind of illustrates what Brother Currington was teaching us tonight. That sometimes it's easier to keep something clean than to try to clean it up again after it's been defiled. You can imagine her grief there, trying to clean up her son from all that tar. Yet that's kind of a picture into our soul, picture into our hearts. And we can't be out there rolling around in the tar and the filth of this world. The lesson last week, every sin originates in the heart, as he quoted tonight, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, says, "The heart is desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And over in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5, and we'll get to 1 Peter in a minute, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." What a horrible description. You know, you look back at Noah's day and you ask, why did the Lord destroy this earth in a flood? It's because the heart of man, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So let us not sit here tonight and say, well, it doesn't matter what I do or think in my heart. I'm not affecting anybody. No, God destroyed the world because of that. That's how wicked it was in God's eyes. God wants our hearts to be pure. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We need to have pure hearts. When does this evil begin? This evil usually begins in our youth. It says in Genesis 8:21, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." It's in the youth that man's heart begins to become evil. We live in a day and age where it's getting younger and younger and younger all the time that man's hearts are becoming evil. Yesterday, in Albany, the Senate voted on Senate Bill 892. I don't know the results of the vote. But the vote was to allow girls as young as 9 years of age in New York State to be given abortion pills without the consent of their parents. And as I got to thinking about that, I'm thinking, why in the world would a 9-year-old girl need an abortion pill that would induce an abortion in her without her parents knowing? I don't know how the vote went. Maybe somebody could check on that for me. I'd be interested to find out. But the imagination of man's heart's evil from his youth. Can you imagine 9-year-old girls becoming pregnant and needing abortion pills? I'm saying to you today that our world is more evil today than it's ever been before. And it's more wicked today in influences. Now, in this text right here, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible tells us through Peter's writings, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." He didn't say go ahead and dabble in it. He didn't say let your curiosity get the best of you. He didn't say, see how far you can get into this without getting burned. That's one of the devil's tools. He tries to pull you in and see how close you can get some. He said, abstain. Abstain. Completely abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We're talking about the heart tonight. The heart and soul are always together in the Scriptures. I think it's 17 times it says heart and soul, heart and soul, heart and soul, heart and soul. And we are supposed to abstain from fleshly lusts, notice, which war against the soul. I think sometimes the biggest war we have is right inside of our own selves. As our own flesh wars against our own soul. We have got to understand how this works. The principle tonight is it is easier to keep your heart clean than to clean it up after it has been defiled. How do you keep your heart clean? I think there's at least three ways that defile the heart. You got to understand these, and you got to be on guard about these things. Number one is the eyes, number two is the ears, and number three is the imaginations or the mind. These are the things that defile the heart of man. We saw how bad the heart could get and how defiled the heart could get last week as we looked at the words of Christ in Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. When he said, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man." The heart, if you can imagine us dropping this screen right here and having the thoughts of your heart broadcast up on the screen, from the thoughts you've had the last week, or that I've had the last week, it would probably cause us to run out of the church and avoid you for the rest of our lives. And it certainly would be an embarrassing thing. In fact, if our hearts could be shown on the screens, many of us probably would never come back to this church again, just out of shame, out of embarrassment, out of guilt. So we've got to understand those things that lead to the defiling of the heart. Because the point is, tonight it's easier to keep your heart clean than to clean it up after you have been defiled. And those of you that have had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home where your parents don't let you watch TV and they don't let you watch movies and they don't let you read ungodly magazines and books and so on, you ought to be very, very thankful. You ought to be very, very grateful. You ought not to think that you've been missing anything because you do not believe the war and the struggle that goes inside of us and inside of us that those of us that didn't have the privilege you've had grew up in. When I was 11 years of age, a friend of mine came over to our barn and said, "Hey, Art, would you like to see one of my dad's magazines?" I had no idea what he meant by that. No idea whatsoever. I'd lived in complete innocency in my life up until that time. But as he began to show me that pornographic magazine, innocency died and curiosity was birthed in me. A farmer across the street hid pornographic magazines in his barn from his away from his wife. Friends found them. Begin to show us those. Now, pornography, understand this, young people. Pornography back then was just inanimate pictures. It's 1,000 times worse today. 1,000 times worse today. It defiles a person's heart. And this is why we have 9-year-old girls needing abortion pills. Okay, because the mind of man is filthy. Because of pornography. It's killing us. There are pastors who are struggling with it. Pastors who've left the ministries. There are men who are being unfaithful to their wives and their thought lives and in their marriages because of it. It especially affects men. I want you to look over at 2 Peter, and this is a text that Brother Currington was talking about, but he didn't mention this verse. In 2 Peter, chapter number 2, he brought out in his discourse tonight, verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. But he didn't bring out verse number 8, which caused him to be filthy and caused him to be vexed. That means worn down, defeated. It says in verse 8, for that righteous man, Lot, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I want you to notice the eyes and the ears. What he saw with his eyes and what he heard with his ears vexed his righteous soul. It wore him down. It made him defeated. And if you put yourself in a situation where you are constantly seeing with your eyes filthiness and hearing filthy things, it's going to vex your righteous soul, and it's going to defile your heart. And it'll be harder to clean up your heart after it's been defiled than to just keep it clean and say no to those things and abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Amazed at how many people nowadays watch R-rated movies, X-rated movies, triple X-rated movies. Even most of the PG-13 movies are ungodly, wicked, vile. And yet it is so common. It is so common today. I can remember reading old writings of John Rice, the evangelist, back in the 40s and 50s, and how he would cry out against John Wayne movies. And how filthy and how vile and how wicked they were back in the 40s and 50s. I wonder what he would say today if he was still alive. My, the stuff we have become accustomed to, we've become used to the dark. We've become used to the darkness. My eyes affected me. When I got into the military, there was pornography everywhere. But again, it was the lightweight stuff. Because back then, they didn't have, believe it or not, back in the 70s, mid-70s, they didn't have VCRs, DVDs, and internet sites, and cell phones, and so on and so forth. I thank God I didn't grow up in this generation. And then at the same time in my life, my ears began to affect me. With the introduction of rock and roll, the introduction of rock and roll music into the American mainstream in the 60s. It actually started in the 50s, actually. This rebellious music with Elvis Presley just sowed the seeds of rebellion against authority and against God. Progressed into the Beatles. I can remember the 1960s and the 1970s, how that music just steamrolled our country. We began to be affected by the ears, by the hearing of the ears. And this music of rebellion began to sow the seeds of ungodliness and break down the inhibitions of many people. Music is an extremely powerful medium that affects people's behavior. And things went from bad to worse in our country. It began to occupy my time. Pretty soon, I didn't want to hang around my dad. I didn't want to go to church. Didn't want to hear what my pastor had to say. Didn't want to be around God's people. Didn't want to read the Bible. led me to a life of backsliding and depravity, and concerts and parties and drugs and alcohol use, and I can't believe how far and how fast I fell because of the things I saw with my eyes and heard with my ears. In 1978, I rededicated my life to the Lord Jesus Christ as a 22-year-old man. One of the first things I did was made a complete break from that life. Completely. Never looked at pornography since. Haven't listened to rock and roll music since. Thank God there is some good news. The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." God's word is so powerful that when we have a steady diet of it, it's able to clean up our minds, clean up our hearts, and give us another chance. But don't let me kid you. I can't tell you how many times over these years since I rededicated my life to the Lord 32 years ago, Satan has pushed those buttons and brought images back into my mind and music back into my mind. And sometimes just walking through a store or something, you'll hear a particular song that will trigger a memory. And it has been, I believe, much harder for me to be spiritual on a day-by-day basis than if I had just kept my heart clean all the time I was growing up. I want to, in closing, ask you to turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4. This is a story right here that has nothing to do with the heart, but I want to make an application. 70 years had passed since the children of Israel had been carried off into Babylon as captives from Jerusalem, about 500 miles due east into Babylon. Under Cyrus, the new king in Babylon, some of them were allowed to return and rebuild Jerusalem and the walls around the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And they rebuilt the very temple that Jesus would later walk in 500 years later. But when they got there, they found that there had been rubbish piled up all around the walls. And they went back, and their job was to repair the walls around Jerusalem. But they did not use their energy repairing the walls. They used their energy getting rid of the rubbish. And as a result of them spending all their energy on getting rid of the rubbish, they did not have the energy to do the will of God and the work of God in their lives. I know a missionary who's doing a good work for God. Prior to his salvation, he had been quite deeply into pornography. The Lord saved his soul and cleaned him up and called him, and God's been using him. But I remember him saying one time, he says, "You know, I just wish to God there was one day in my life where I could get out of my bed in the morning without having an unclean thought because of the filth he had put in his heart before he was saved." He was saying that he has to use a lot of his spiritual energy every single day just getting over his past. It's hard for him to find the spiritual energy to do God's will and God's work for that day because he's always fighting himself. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Will they revive the stones? Will they revive the walls? Will they revive the gates out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" You can imagine how much rubbish had accumulated in 70 years. Down in verse number 10, it says this, "And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." You see, you put a lot of rubbish in your life, and you're going to have trouble having strength to build the wall. You put a lot of rubbish in your eyes, and you put a lot of rubbish in your ears, and you're going to have a hard time finding enough strength to get at the real work God wants you to do, building the walls. And you're going to end up using all your energy fighting your past. I don't know of a day where it's harder than today to keep your heart clean. To keep your heart clean. But believe me, it is easier to keep the heart clean than to clean it after it's been defiled. I want to encourage you tonight, do not become curious about sin. Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, be simple concerning evil. That word simple comes from the term simpleton. A simpleton is somebody that doesn't have much of a mind. Perhaps a mental retardation or something. The Lord said, be simple concerning evil. You don't have to lift the lid up on a sewer to know that it stinks inside. The cover will tell you that. And I want to encourage you to watch what you put in your eyes. Watch what you listen to in your ears. Parents, watch. Parents, get control of your kids. Get control of your homes. Get that stuff out in the open. If you don't need the internet, get rid of it. Get rid of the movies and get rid of the DVDs and just keep the television off. Get your kids into the Word. And the Word of God will have a cleansing effect. Cleansing effect. But you young people, some of you want to serve the Lord. You will be at an advantage the rest of your life if you'll keep your heart clean. And not have to spend all of your energy later cleaning it up. Your eyes, your ears, and your imaginations. Get them under the control and the power of the Holy Ghost. Let the Lord control them. Yield those members as instruments of righteousness unto God, unto righteousness unto holiness. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us. Oh Lord, this world's never been filthier than it is today. Lord, there's so many influences like never before. So much, Lord, has been developed by technology. Lord, we can sin faster than we've ever sinned before. Strange as that sounds. We can fill our eyes, our ears, and our imaginations with things that the lost 40 years ago never had available to them, or 100 years ago. Dear God, if we're ever going to have a revival, we need to have a clean heart. We need to have a perfect heart. Dear Lord, I pray people would gather over this altar tonight and surrender their all to Thee. Maybe go home and clean out the house. What we're watching, what we're hearing. That we would take our imaginations and cast them down as soon as they become evil. Lord, you do a purifying work in our marriages, our homes, our children, our youth. Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive New York State that we would be so vile as to even think of such a thing. God, have mercy on us. Now, Lord, help us to pray for some revival tonight. Yield and submit ourselves to Thee, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.